Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship and to the fellowship of the Lord's table. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 78, O Set Ye Open Unto Me, 78. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us pray. Almighty God, the secrets of human hearts are no secret to you, and we ask you now to enter our hearts and to cleanse them by your Holy Spirit. Inspire us, so that our love for you may be pure, and so that the praise we offer may be worthy of your name. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and action, both through our own fault and in common with others. As we think of these things now, we are truly sorry, and we seek humbly to turn away from our sins. Almighty God, have mercy upon us and set us free from the grip of all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal. Lord, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass man's understanding. Let our hearts be filled with such love towards you, that we may love you, our God, above everything, and may receive the fulfillment of your promises, which are beyond all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Hymn number 129, The Lord is King, 129.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42, at verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior he will stir up his zeal. With a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them, and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 12. Mark, chapter 14, verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 264, Judge Eternal, 264. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 22, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Someone asked me, "How long does the communion service last?" I wasn't able to be precise, but thinking that our normal Sunday service lasts about 3/4 of an hour, I suggested the communion service would take no more than an hour. Today we celebrate communion, and we remember that Jesus instituted the sacrament during the celebration of the Jewish feast of Passover. I don't know how long a celebration of Passover lasted either, but I rather think it would be considerably longer than our communion service. When I type out the order of service for today, I find there are 12 items on it. The celebration of communion counts as one of them. But in the celebration of the Jewish Passover, there were 19 items, and many of them took considerably longer than most of ours. Of those 19 items, 2 involved hymn singing, 4 involved the breaking and eating of bread, 4 involved drinking from a cup of wine. On 3 occasions, there was the washing of hands, there was a grace before meal, a prayer of thanksgiving, and 2 short prayers to bring the celebration to an end. There was no reading of scripture as such, but there was a relating of the story of the original Passover, and of course there was the meal itself when the Passover lamb was eaten. All this ceremonial was gone through with the utmost solemnity and dignity, attention to detail, careful to go through each stage of the celebration precisely according to the rules. Each succeeding generation was taught thoroughly the details of the procedure and the historical significance and the deep meaning of each element in the service. Well, when we in the Church of Scotland are preparing young people for full membership, we do spend time and care in helping them to understand the significance of the sacrament. But I think we would have to say that the Jewish Passover involves more attention to detail and more slavish devotion to the established practice than we normally have. Go to various churches in Scotland and attend the communion service, and we'll find some variation in the way things are done. But the essence of the sacrament remains the same everywhere and every time. In our two churches here, we celebrate communion four times a year. That's much less frequently than they do in some denominations of the Christian Church. Some indeed have communion at every service of worship. On the other hand, four times a year is more frequent than some churches in Scotland. So there too, we have quite a lot of variation in the way that things are done. So we are here today not to go through a specific ritual, but to remind ourselves of what Jesus did and the meaning of what he did for our life today. There is the old saying that actions speak louder than words. There's a great deal of truth in that. And all down the centuries, there have been instances of people using significant actions to convey a deep meaning. People can more readily remember those meaningful actions than they can remember any of the words which are said. A dramatic action will imprint itself on the memory. Here we have Jesus taking the bread, which was regularly used in the Passover celebration, and giving to it this special meaning. "This is my body," he said. "Take it," he said. The people who were responsible for putting Jesus to death, there were several of them, largely the professional religious people of the day, scribes and Pharisees, and those who were most anxious to maintain the established Jewish religious practice. Those people and the soldiers who arrested him, the high priest who put him through a mockery of a trial, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who washed his hands of the whole affair, but who still bowed to the pressure of the crowd and handed Jesus over to be crucified. All of those people took possession, in a way, took possession of the body of Jesus, the physical things which happened. It has continued to be the case all down the ages that people think they can get rid of someone by killing his or her body. They certainly thought they could get rid of Jesus by killing his body. They were intent on doing that, waited for their opportunity, enlisted the help of Judas Iscariot, and pressurized Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to bring about their objective of getting rid of Jesus. But it simply didn't work. First, Mary of Magdala, then the disciples Peter and John. After that, the other disciples and those who were closest to Jesus in his earthly life. Then a constant stream of people, a stream reaching all over the world and all down the centuries. All those people came to realize, in each in their own time, came to realize that killing the body of Jesus had not amounted to getting rid of him. Jesus lives. He lives in the life of his followers in every generation. He lives in you and me. Jesus told them. Most of those who heard him didn't take it in at the time, but he told them, "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. "Those who believe in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The bread of the Passover feast symbolized his body. The bread of our communion service symbolizes his body likewise. The symbol speaks louder than any words. There are words too, of course. Jesus used words at the time of the institution. We use words today. Some of the words we use are those which Jesus said on the original occasion. Some of them are Paul's words. Paul, who after his conversion spent the rest of his life passing on the message of Jesus to people in various parts of the Eastern world. Yes, there are words, and the words may vary slightly from one church to another, and even from one celebration to another in the same church. But more important than the words is the deep meaning which they convey. Emphasized and imprinted on the mind of the believer by the symbol of the bread broken and the wine poured out. The body of Jesus, which people crucified, and the blood which he shed, by all of which people thought they had got rid of Jesus forever. But in fact, it's quite the reverse which has happened. Jesus lives and acts and achieves his purpose of love more widely and more effectively than was ever possible in the days of his earthly life. And for you and me, the great thing is that we are involved in the work which Jesus is engaged in doing in the world in our time. We sometimes speak of the church as the body of Christ. That makes good sense, because it's largely through the church in its various forms that Jesus works today. A human institution, the church is, yes, but not only a human institution. The church is the creation of God. It has human failings, yes, but far more important than that, it has the living presence of its living Lord. So we need not despair. We need not lose heart in spite of any failings which the church may exhibit, in spite of what's going on in the world which is contrary to the will of God and to the Spirit of God. The words of the communion service remind us, the bread and the wine remind us even more. We know that our Redeemer lives, ever present and ever ready to help us through the ups and downs of life, always calling us afresh to serve him and be involved in his great purpose of love for the world, this world for which he was content to die and in which he lives today. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 668, According to Thy Gracious Word. 668. This is the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus invites us to share this joyful feast. From east and west, from north and south, people will come and take their places at the banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of all. Assure us of your mercy and sanctify us by your heavenly grace, that we may approach you with pure heart and cleansed conscience and offer you a sacrifice in righteousness. Out of the fullness of your gifts, O God, we make our offerings to you and present this bread and this wine at your table, because all good things come from you. Blessed be your holy name forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us listen again to those familiar words in which Jesus instituted this sacrament, words passed on to us by Paul. "The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use, this mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and present to him our prayers and thanksgivings. Let us pray. Almighty God, who created heaven and earth and all that is in them, we praise you for Jesus Christ, whom you've sent to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you for his birth, his life, his suffering and death for our sake, his glorious resurrection and ascension, his sending of the Holy Spirit as he promised to bring life and power to the church and to be the light and guide of those who put their trust in you. Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us to trust you more completely and to serve you more faithfully day by day. Now, in this hour of worship, we set forth this memorial of Jesus as he commanded. We ask your blessing on that which we do here on earth, that the bread which we break may be to us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of his blood, that we may partake of them to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace, to the glory of your holy name. Lord, we seek those things not only for ourselves. We think of those we know who are in need today. We think of those who are ill, those who would like to be with us here celebrating this holy sacrament, but are prevented by age or infirmity or circumstances. We ask you, Lord, to bless them and keep them safe. Accept us and the memorial we make today as in fellowship with all the faithful in heaven and on earth, we pray you to fulfill in us the purpose of your redeeming love through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for a memorial of him, we do this, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the love which brings us food from heaven, the life of your dear Son, and assures us that we belong to the company of all his faithful people in heaven and on earth. Grant that we may be strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue his work in the world until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 333, Now, Lord, According to Thy Word. 333. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.